Off the Ball Breakfast.
Mad the wrestling in the 90s was. Like, people cutting their face open, jumping off the top of the cages, like sleeper matches, buried alive matches. Like, as a kid, I watched it and thought, like, oh, this is all real, but it's watered down now, isn't it? It's nowhere near it. When's the last time you've seen somebody being hit by a chair in wrestling?
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Daily.
Okay, so I am here with WWE superstar Sheamus, obviously Dublin's own, Cabra's own. You're very welcome. What are we doing here today with the Titans?
Dan, let me tell you, I'm really, really excited to be here. I just got off a plane from Turkey at a wedding, and I was just here to promote the Titans and the NFL. And there's a draft pick happening today in Dublin, first time ever, and I have the honorary job of actually announcing that draft. I'm super excited about it. I've been living in Nashville for the last 9 years. Before that, I was in Florida. Didn't really settle down there. Very, very homesick, you know, obviously because I missed Ireland. But Tennessee, Nashville was the first place where I really, really felt comfortable in America. Mm. And of course, I just got introduced to the Titans. I was kind of warming up to NFL. I didn't have a team. And just, you know, Nate Bain, who works for the Titans, was the one who extended an opportunity to go to the game. And the same colours as the Dubs. The atmosphere is great. The fans are passionate, just like our fans here in Ireland. And it was just like, it was an easy pick for me. It was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Nashville, Tennessee Titans, they're just like, just go hand in hand. And of course, the similarities between Dublin and Nashville are just, they're so close. Like the music, the crack, the kind of entertainment vibe that's there. It just, everything felt right, and I just haven't looked back since I moved to Nashville.
And I suppose then, look, we were down with the kids having a look at the flag ball. I mean, look, when I was growing up, or even when you were growing up, flag ball, that whole thing, like, the NFL knowledge wasn't really a thing. In the last couple of years, it has been now. NFL games are coming to Dublin. College games have been coming to Dublin for years as well. There's been a real explosion of that scene.
Yeah, it's blown up. I remember when Notre Dame first came over here and they played at Crow Park on sacred ground. It had never really happened as far sport was being played at Croker, and of course Notre Dame are, you know, obviously very, very the ties between Ireland and Notre Dame are huge. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, it just, you know, I saw it happening slowly. The UK were having a couple of games, and now of course then just became a thing where, like, NFL is becoming all like a global phenomenon, kind of like WWE. It's kind of the same thing. Like, WWE again, we wrestle every country all over the world basically, and the same thing has happened now with NFL. And then when I heard the Titans picked Ireland as their only home, unlike some of the other teams who have picked like Ireland and UK or Ireland and Germany, it's crazy, because it was like, but this team, like as I said, represents everything I feel from back home in Dublin, you know, the same colours, the whole vibe, etc. I mean, they were like, oh no, we're 100% in Ireland. Ireland's going to be our only home. I was like, this is why I love this team, because they're not one foot in, one foot out. They're 100% committed to Ireland. And I think that's what I need to let these fans know. And that's why, as you see today, like, unlike some of the other teams, you know, the NFL here, like, Titans are here with kids trying to implement or bring it in at the grassroots level, because grassroots level is what's really important.
Yeah.
And kids, like, you know, they've got so much energy. One sport isn't enough. Those kids are playing football, hurling, soccer, and of course now they're getting into the NFL as well. Also WWE, they're also massive WWE fans. So it's just growing and growing.
And you were an Aaron's Isle man. What are you doing in the Phoenix? that would have been frowned upon back in the day.
Yeah, look.
You were a hurler, wasn't it?
No, I was not a hurler. I was not a hurler. I was a terrible hurler. I was a footballer. I played for Isles, played in the under-16 Dublin Championship final. The same year, we actually came runners-up in the league. Played minor football. I played all the way from like under-12s, I think, up to minor football for Aaron's Isle. But look, the thing is, like, I'm a Cabra local. This is a local team. Mm-hmm. Great club. Great mentors working here. Just a great community. And they were the first ones there, like, oh, we'd love to have the Titans here for the draft pick and to get the kids involved. Because that's what it's about. Like, it's about getting the future generation involved in the sport. Expose them to it. And then today we had a game of flag football, non-contact. But they're having great crack, throwing the ball, catching the ball. And, of course, like, with the background of Ga and, you know, being a Ga player, you know, one of the most important things is catching the ball out of the air. They just picked it up so quickly.
Yeah. And look, obviously, there's no NFL game in Dublin this year. An awful lot of fans would have been disappointed by that.
Yeah,
Is this really a hook and tease for next year?
Yeah, I hope so. I was really upset about it because, look, there's a lot going on with the Titans too. Like, we got a new stadium coming up. They rebranded the logo. It's very much kind of like the Oilers, which symbolizes the history of the team and the franchise. So, yeah, I was devastated we didn't get it because the turnout at Croker was amazing. The fans were amazing. Like, the atmosphere was just fantastic. So I think we were robbed this year, in fairness, of a game. But next year, I'm praying I'll push as hard as I can to get the Titans here and get them in their new home away from home, Croke Park. My home away from home is Nashville. Titans' home away from home is Croker.
Now, this might be a controversial question, but Croker or Lansdowne Road of Eva?
Croker.
Yeah.
I mean, listen.
But obviously, bigger stadium, but yeah.
If you'd say that to me, and I've been to a couple of games. I went to a couple of World Cup qualifiers before Italia 90. I remember it was at the Hungary game and the Northern Ireland game. If you said it to me like 88, 89, 90, before they tore Lansdowne down and turned the TV, I would 100% said, I would have been like, maybe Lansdowne.
Yeah, old Lansdowne roar.
Yeah, but I just feel like Croker is just, it's sacred ground here in Ireland, you know. You just think about what's our number one sport. It's the All-Ireland Final for both hurling and football, and that's where it's played. That's our mecca.
And while you're talking about Croker, actually, I'm sure you've seen the ongoing debate about getting Katie Taylor her retirement fight in Croke Park. I'm sure that's a wasp.
I think it was a well-fed fly, actually. They feed her flies great over here in Dublin.
Yeah. So Katie Taylor, because obviously she's been a phenomenal servant to Irish sport here and in terms of representing Ireland in the boxing ring. You'd obviously love to see that take place in Croker.
Of course. As I said, it's every kid's dream at one stage to participate in any sport in Croke Park. The closest thing I got was Parnell Park for the under-16 championship final with Isles. But of course it is. Like my dream is obviously to have WrestleMania at a Croker and to perform in that. That would be top of my bucket list. So for Katie, like, she's done enough. She's created, she's put out such a positive vibe of Ireland. She's been a great champion. She's done so much as well to represent Ireland. So of course, why wouldn't she get a fight at Croker? It's a no-brainer. Garth Brooks got 3 concerts or something. How can Katie Taylor not get a fight at Croke Park?
Yeah, get it done.
That's going to clear that up.
In terms of yourself, because you've been on the injury list in WWE for a little bit. How is the recuperation going? And can fans expect to see you back in the ring soon?
Yeah, it's just this one's been difficult. This kind of came out of nowhere. So I started noticing my shoulder, like I was kind of around May, June, and then I had the clash in Paris with Rusev. It was bothering me, and I thought I tore it, and I got a couple of shots in there, and it felt good for a little while, but ultimately it was just a matter of time before it stopped moving on me. So I had
that Celtic cross off the barrels.
it was something like that.
It was unbelievable.
Maybe hitting the post or, my thing has always been very, very physical. I've always prided myself in a physical style. A lot of my opponents don't like that, but tough look. But that's my thing has always been that. Like, it's always go out there and put on a banger, match of the night every single time. I don't care if I get 0 build up, if I don't have a week of build up or 4 weeks. Like, I don't get the luxury of having like these all in ring segments that go on forever. But I just go out there and my goal is to put on a banger, a physical match that nobody has seen anything the likes of. And just get the crowd on their feet, out of their chairs. That's what I do. I do it better than anybody. Of course, it comes with like the situation where like I can get banged up as well. And this the shoulder thing. I really try to like push through it until the point where I couldn't even move my arm. So I had surgery December 30th, and ever since then I've been in rehab. But I'm dying to get back in that ring. I'm dying to get back to work. I've got cabin fever. I have a lot still to give in this business. I'm still as passionate now, probably more than I was when I first started. And I just, I want to get back out there and start putting bangers on. And God help whoever's across the ring from me, because they're going to, I'm telling you, man, full Cabra, full Northside Dublin is coming at them. Nothing going to stop me.
Because we've seen the sort of the behind the scenes with the likes of, you know, Triple H in the past and Seth Rollins and stuff like that, and their recuperation. Is that like, do you resonate with an awful lot of the sort of the pet? And look, you've mentioned the cabin fever there as well. You're itching to get back in between the ropes as well. Is that the sort of the resonation there?
In what way do you mean that? Like?
Well, like they spoke, you know, very openly about, you know, and particularly Seth, actually, he was really open to, you know, how much he suffered during his time away from the ring. I can't remember which of the injuries it was he was talking about, yeah. But it was a really, really long time. So is that like, do you kind of feel that way, sort of not depressed, but it's, you know, that itch that.
Yeah, of course. Like, of course I do. Like, I love what I do. Like, I took the chance to go to America to follow my dream, and it worked out, luckily enough. Like, and I've been thriving ever since. This September I'll be in with WWE 19 years.
Yeah.
I think it was like, I think June 30th I've made my debut on TV.
Yeah.
17 years.
Yeah.
So I'm there a long, long time, but I haven't lost any passion for it. I just love being in front of a crowd. I love putting on physical matches. I love dragging my opponent through a war. And of course, like, you know, there'll be a time when I know I probably can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm still, like, I feel I'm in my prime, I know that I just want to get it. I don't want to be wasting time on, like, sitting at home. I want to be out there and just getting stuck in.
And it'll make me feel very old. I'm not sure how it'll make you feel. I remember going to watch you in the old basketball halls of Irish Wrestling, Tala, Blanchardstown, all of those sort of when you were
Laughter
when you were
Lounge.
I don't think I ever went to the was there one in the Laughter Lounge?
We had a couple of the Laughter Lounge.
Right.
We had a couple, yeah. But maybe 2005.
Okay.
So 21 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, because it would have been more sort of Verona or the National Basketball Arena in Tala when I was sort of going to them. And then, you know, because like obviously you would get WWE on terrestrial television through, you know, watching the very edited episodes of SmackDown on Sky One. You never got the sense of what was coming through developmental, which for you was obviously FCW at the time. And then, as you mentioned, making your debut on television, I'll never forget it because I actually popped at the television watching you come out on ECW at the time. And then it all went very skyward for you in a I suppose a short space of time. Within the blink of, I know it seemed an awful lot longer, but within the blink of an eye you were WWE champion, putting John Cena through a table.
Yeah, it happened really, really fast. One minute I was on ECW, the next minute I was switched to Raw. It literally happened overnight. I got a phone call saying, I think, because it was on Tuesday, so ECW was taped on Raw was live on Monday, SmackDown was taped on Tuesday, and ECW was taped before it. And I just, you know, you just don't get any like heads up. So I remember, like, I was got back and I was told I needed to leave on a Sunday to get to Raw. Monday I was going to debut on Raw. It was literally like that. It was like the day before I was told you're switching over to Raw, and that was it. And then I'm in a breakthrough battle royal at Jesse Ventura. It's a 3-hour Raw, which didn't happen back then. It used to only be 2-hour Raws. So then it was on that, and it was me, and it came down to me and Kofi, who was also brand new. And then all of a sudden, I'm wrestling John Cena at TLC.
Yeah.
My second pay-per-view ever, I'm wrestling for the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And then, like, a couple of hours later, I'm holding the title with my foot in John's chest and a title in my left arm. I think it was left arm. It just blew everyone away, shocked the world. It was phenomenal. Like, again, you just got to be ready for any time, for anything that comes your way, or which could happen any time.
Mm. Because and it's been some career ever since. I think when a lot of people mention you now, it's, you know, the word Grand Slam is mentioned. Didn't happen, was it, against Gunther?
In the three-way, and then a couple of times, yeah, at Braun Breaker. Yeah, so I just need to leave that up to the people, the fans, to kind of...
And look, when you do sort of get back and fit and well and ready to get back in the ring, do you think, look, obviously there's a bit of momentum lost from that time to now or whenever you do get back in the ring, but do you get a sense that you can get yourself back into that position to maybe... to win that Grand Slam before...
Give me one match. Yeah. Just give me one match. Just give me go out there. Give me one match to go out and just remind people of what I can do. That's all I need. I don't need weeks or promos or vignettes or anything. Just let me out there with somebody who can hold their own. Give me a bit of time, and I'll go out there and I'll tear the place down. And I remind people exactly what they've been missing for the last couple of months.
Yeah,
that's all I need. I've been here a long time, but the thing for me is I've never rested on my laurels. I've never been like, well, I've done this, and this, so I can coast now. I've always gone out there to prove myself, and I'll still, until I can't lace up my boots anymore, every time I go out there, I'll go out there to prove myself.
Mm.
And I'll go out as if no one has ever seen me. Like, just fans, the audience have never seen Seamus, and I'll tell them who I am from the minute that bell rings.
And you've overlapped an awful lot of people's careers, the likes of John Cena, Triple H, and so on. Is there a dream match still in your head that you'd like to achieve?
I'd still love the main event WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to start picking opponents, because I kind of did that earlier in my career. I kind of said the kind of obvious ones, like Undertaker and Shawn and Triple H. But I've wrestled pretty much all of them. I've wrestled with Shawn Michaels. I had one match, a dark match. I wrestled with Taker. I wrestled Hunter a bunch of times. Same with...
Hit him in the back with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, that's true. Batista, Edge, had Edge's last match in WWE. So I'm not at the point. I just want someone to step up. I want an opponent in there who's going to bring it and bring the best out of me and let me bring the best out of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. If I know we can go out there and tear the place down and have people talking about our match... Just like I had people talking about our match with Gunther for years.
Yeah.
People still come up to it because I brought something out of him that day. And I bring something out of everybody. But it's either step up or step aside. I want someone who's going to just relish the opportunity to get in there and have a physical fight. And again, have people come up to you at signings or WrestleMania access. Years later, I go, that match was awesome. I loved it. I was there. It was physical. It was great. That's what I want. That's the opponent I want. I want someone who's going to bring the best out of me and let me bring the best out of them.
And one of the matches that you got on, I suppose, the flip side of that was you got to wrestle Edge's last match in WWE. Now, obviously, he's gone on and he's had other matches on the other promotion. But to get a match like that, knowing that, Edge, who was as decorated as he was, championships coming out of his backside, How did that feel? Because that was one of those matches where it was like, oh my God, that was a classic.
Yeah, I loved it. It actually wasn't going to happen. So we pitched it at one stage and it didn't look like it was going to come to fruition because there was a couple other things going on. And then I guess his final match was supposed to be against maybe Damian Priest. It's what I heard. I don't know for sure. And then that all changed, and then it ended up being me and him.
Mm.
But at that time, though, we didn't even realize it was going to be his last match. I think he was still in
him
a situation.
And over a contract.
Well, yeah, I think he was just kind of trying to figure out what he wanted to do. But it was a match we never had, and we had tag matches and we tagged together, but we never actually had the match where we fought each other. But it was great. It was so easy. It was so much fun. It was in Toronto, just imagine the flip side. It was in Dublin for my man, It was so easy. The crowd were insane. Beth Phoenix was there, his daughters were there. It was awesome. It was just so much fun.
Yeah. And then, I suppose looking sort of further ahead now, the WWE market in Ireland has been huge for years. Obviously, it's been coming to the point, the Three Arena, for donkey's years. The televised SmackDown was, I suppose, a big moment in terms of that was their marker where they knew that they could come and they would do a show and they would do a loud show and a hopping show. What was that like for you? And I suppose because you weren't on the card that night,
I wasn't on the main show, but I was on the main event match beforehand. So I got a chance to kind of get out there. It was the first match in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
It was epic. I could have stayed out there all night. The crowd are insane. The love they gave me was just amazing. And I saw my first, at the old point, I saw my first WWE show. I think it was 1990. I think the main event was the British Bulldog against the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Shawn Michaels was on it. I think Bret Hart was on it, going way back. So you look at that, and then you look at the matches I've had, competing, coming in as world champion. wrestling John Cena for the WWE title in 2010. Just so many great memories, and it's just, the atmosphere is insane. You're just not gonna beat the Irish for atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You're just not gonna beat the Irish for their singing, their chanting, their energy. Just nothing comes close to our fans.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously we've seen some pay-per-views in France and they're phenomenal. The UK are phenomenal. Like, especially France are actually insane, but like, I don't care. I call me biased, whatever. Nothing comes close. When the Irish fans are full tilt, when they're all out, when they're all in, when they're just there to have the crack, a good time, there is nothing comes close to the Irish fans.
Yeah.
They're just up there. Ask anybody. Even if we're, you go back as far as like Euro 88, Italian 90, like USA, like, I don't know, way back now, obviously the people who weren't even around, but you go back to when Irish travelled abroad for major games, and they'll say like, they're the best crack, they're the best fun, they're the loudest, they're enjoying themselves, they're just there to have fun, not cause trouble, just to bring a load of energy. And again, that's the same thing as we transition back to Titans. That's what I'm talking about. Titans fans, the same thing. They love their team, they're passionate about their team. Have we had a couple of bad years? Absolutely. But it's a transition, it's a transition phase. Every team goes through it. United have gone through it. Liverpool might be going through it. Like, you know, Spurs might go down. Like, if you're talking about football terms, like even like rugby, Munster rugby, it's not going through the best process. Yeah. Dublin football, we're like won like what, six All Irelands in a row. And now like, so every team goes through that type of transition phase. Mm. But what I'm trying to say to people too is like, this team represents a lot of the qualities that Dublin has. They're passionate fans. They love the team. They put on the makeup. They put their jersey on with pride. They're the same colours. As I said, they have their own version kind of Hill 16, where the fans are just there every Sunday chanting whenever they can, like whenever they're home, even away. And that's why I love this team. That's why I'm here, to kind of like make people aware of what a great franchise the Titans are. And the thing about the Titans too is they're kind of the underdogs, mate. They're not the big franchises like the, you know, the Steelers or the Giants or the Bears or the Packers. You know, they're a team that are just, they're finding their way and they're building momentum, new stadium. So that's another reason why I think they'll resonate so well with the Irish.
And with the Irish point as well, look, you look at the current roster in WWE, it's littered with Irish people. There's obviously yourself, there's Becky Lynch, there's Lyra Falcaria, JD McDonagh, the Prince, God, he'll Fergal. Kill Fergal, yeah, my Balor. God, Finn Balor. Yeah. Balor. He'll kill. I interviewed him before. He'll kill me for forgetting his name. It just comes to show, though, it is flooded with that Irish talent, and that, I think you mentioned it earlier on. Get a mania to Dublin and Croker.
We have enough players now in the WWE where it would make sense.
Yeah.
I know we had a big one in we've had a big one in Puerto Rico. We have big ones in France. You know, obviously the Castle of Wales, the big of Wales, Scotland, but as outdoor arenas go, I guarantee they'll fill Croke Park.
Mm.
Everyone, not only will people be just—you need a couple of good reasons, not just for the event itself, but a reason for fans to come to that location. People love coming to Ireland, fella. It's like, it's a dream vacation, right? Come to Dublin, have the crack, drink the Guinness down in Temple Bar or anywhere, any water and holiday you want here. Check out the sights, check out the town, check out the West Coast, check out like. Go the Wild Atlantic Way, do so many things, and then come to an absolute banger of a PLE at Croke Park.
Yeah.
I tell you, you would fill that place 10 times over. And with 5 Irish superstars on the roster, there's no reason why it can't happen.
Yeah.
I think we actually outnumber the English wrestlers at this stage.
Well, there you go.
Never used to happen back in the day. It just used to be me and a lot of English wrestlers. But I think the only thing that comes closest are the Aussies, and they've had a big one as well. They had a big...
They had a very big show. Sydney, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't Classic Castle. It was a maybe Night of Champions, or it was something.
Yeah, they got a big one.
If the Aussies can get one, we can definitely get one.
Yeah, and some of those, before I move on to some of your other sports loves, those Irish stars that I've named, do you find that they come to you for sort of mentorship? The likes of Lyra, who might not be as experienced as Finn or some of the other guys. Do you see yourself as a sort of a mentor that they can come to and seek advice? And
I never really see myself in that situation as a mentor, but I'm always there to give advice. If someone asks me an honest opinion, or you know, I'm always there.
Mm.
Like, I never try and push my opinion on anybody.
Yeah.
Like, I never try to do that. I always let them come to me, or, and sometimes I'll have questions. Like, I remember I got Becky her tryout years ago. I was when I got her, like, in. But then she did the rest of the work herself.
Yeah.
I talked before Finn left New Japan. I talked to him as well a couple of times before he came. Went over to WN and NXT. But, they're all mates. It's good. We catch up all the time. We talk about home a lot. It takes away a bit of the homesickness. And we're all big football fans. I mean, JD and Finn are. But yeah, it's just, we're like family, you know, family, like a second family in some way as well. But I never try and push my opinions on anyone.
Yeah.
I let them come to me and ask, because that's just the way I am. I'm a bit old school on that.
Yeah.
You'll find some people, when I first started, everyone was trying to give you advice, and sometimes you get the wrong advice. So if there's something that's on their mind, I'm always there as an ear, or I'll give my two cents.
To move on, because you've obviously got other sporting loves as well. I mentioned, you know, you're a Cabra man, so proud Bose man.
Proud Bose.
You were in Daily Mount recently.
Yeah, the Dundalk match, right? And then before that, last year I was at the Sligo match. That was a great game. I love going to Daily Mount. The first game I went to Daily Mount, actually, I think I saw Villa play. It was Paul McGrath was playing for Villa.
Oh wow,
1989 pre-season game.
Yeah.
Who else was playing? Was Houghton playing?
Yeah, I think Houghton might have.
Ben got there, but I know McGrath was definitely playing. So that was fantastic, and I'm excited to see what the next step is for Bose and the new stadium as well. My sister Anne-Marie Farley Ammo, she's a diehard Bose fan, so she's really excited again about, like, she'll call me if they lose a game, and she's just like, just vent into me. Especially with Shelbourne, you know, that she's like, Bows and Shells don't get, or Pats.
Or Pats, yeah.
You're a Pats man, right?
No, I'm a Bows man. Oh, God, jeez.
Who was Pats then?
A bit of a bad result last night against Pats, but did you grow up then becoming obviously living within the vicinity of Daily Mount Park, did you get to games every week, or what was
not,
that
not every week, but I definitely get to games every couple of weeks.
Yeah,
the lads, me and my mates around the Old Cabra Road, Cabra Drive.
Yeah.
We'd all head down. It's only a few quid. It's so funny, a couple of pounds to get in and see the game. And of course, it's great. Always great to support League of Ireland as well. So yeah, we get down a lot. And then obviously, when I moved, gone for about 20 years.
Yeah.
But Ammo keeps me up. She sends me stuff all the time. She said, I have a Bose flag hanging up in my gym on the ceiling back home. So she keeps me updated pretty good. And she was at the Bose women's game today as well. So she's all in. Like, she'll go see the women's games and the men's games.
Like, there has been an explosion in the league. Like, not just obviously Bose, but within the entire league in the last couple of years. It's never been as popular.
No, it's fantastic. It's grassroots. It's home. Like, people, like, as I said, more and more people just want to go out and get entertained. That's why, as I said, like, NFL coming in, I don't feel like it's impinging or it's threatening any other sports. People just love sports. They just want to get out of gaff. They want to go see a game. Whether it's GA, whether it's League of Ireland, whether it's rugby, or whether it's NFL, WWE, anything at all. People want to be entertained. They want to get out there, work their arses off, and they want to go out there and they want to have a good time.
Yeah. Liverpool then, champions last year. Not so much this year.
Not so good this year, no. Wheels kind of came off a little bit. I think they're trying to put the wheels back on at the moment. They think it might make the Champions League place. I was over for the Galatasaray game, which was great, to beat them 5-0. But I've been a Liverpool fan since I was a kid. Had a lot of Irish players. Aldridge, one of my favourite Irish players of all time. And Houghton as well. But, that's... I went to school Quibians, school Longueuil in Marlborough Street. Mostly people there would follow Arsenal, Liverpool or Manchester United, because there was the three teams that had the most.
Yeah.
You had Niall Quinn, David O'Leary at Arsenal. Liam Brady as well, of course. A little bit before my time. But then at United you had McGrath on the tail end of it, Frank Stapleton.
And a young Keane.
Then Dennis Eyre and Roy Keane. Yeah. So those three teams have really kind of captivated the imagination of Irish fans.
Mm.
And then, of course, everyone else, second team, is Celtic.
Yeah.
So Celtic is synonymous.
Yeah. Would you be a slot in or a slot out kind of man at the moment?
You know, mate, I don't think it's
controversial,
very, it's
maybe.
It's easy to say, because, like, I don't think I could ever... Like, who could do that job? Like, how stressful is that job?
But should a manager maybe have a bit more credit in the bank, only winning the league last year?
Yeah,
last season?
I do. I think that the talk about it is that I believe that the just the performances this year. I feel like people are worried that they're going to be slipping backwards, even though they are champions and he won the league. It's a kind of like some of the displays this season have just lacked heart or any type of organisation or vision. I think that's what's really been missing. But then we lost a couple of players, we've got some new players in too. So everybody sitting on the couch can be a manager, you know? They can be like a couch manager. Yeah. They can say, oh, I do that, I do this. Would you? Yeah, like, but could you do that job? You know, not many people could. I think I'd like to see maybe someone like Gerard come in to help Slot maybe. If Slot's going to stay on, I think they need somebody who's immersed in the Liverpool culture, who knows the city, who's right there, who can maybe fill in some gaps that he's obviously missing. But I think losing Salah is sad, but it's like everything else. Like I've been with this team up and down. I've seen players like John Barnes go. I've seen Robbie Fowler go. I've seen Rush go. I've seen Gerrard go. And you always think it's the end of the world. Torres, Suarez. But then, you know, another player will come in and they'll have passion. As long as you got passion, that's all I care about.
Yeah.
I'm more for passion than having all the skill in the world and not like wearing your heart on your sleeve. You've got to wear your heart on your sleeve. That's why like Szoboszlai this year has been a standout player for us as well. But you gotta wanna go there and play, give everything you possibly can for the club. Mm-hmm. And I think we're missing a couple of those players.
Yeah.
I think that's something they have to look at. And let's get someone in there who's gonna like die for the team, you know. That's kind of a little harsh to say, but the same with me when I wrestle, like I'm not gonna ever go out there and half ass it. I'm not gonna ever go out there and give like 20% or 50%. These people are in the crowd that paid a lot of money to come and see a great WWE show. I don't care if it's like in front of 100,000 people or 4,000 people where it's on TV or not. I'm going to go out there and give it the same no matter what I do.
Yeah. Well, listen, absolutely. Some good balls, lads, looking at us through the window. It's been a revelation. Seamus, thank you very much. He's even got me wearing the
these Titans wristbands. I'm committed to getting everybody in the Titans, Tennessee Titans bandwagon. And we're succeeding. So together on three, 1, 2, 3, Titan up!
Off the Ball Daily.